so is this roller coaster of a league, as those Bears just don't know when they're down and out. And news of their final game against Harlequins, well, that is now going to be in front of the cameras.
Yes, we've a rearranged round to review after the playoff pistols at High Noon at Ashton Gate last weekend. Credit Joe Burns for that cracker of a line.
It's a top four race that has left everyone on the edge of their seats, with only 7 points separating number three to five in the standings.
Yeah, we've all the permutations on who could end up where with special guest Rachel Burford. So leave it to us to do the working out, because we've got Philippa Tuttiot. I'm Nick Heath, and this is the Power Pod. Phil, I feel like it's been a year since I've seen you. How are you?
I know I missed our little regular morning interviews. I'm really good, thank you. You've been busy with the Six Nations. That's all I've got to say about that. How's your time?
Yeah, okay. We're not talking Welsh rugby then, are we? Of course, Warren Gatland has gone this week. We've heard that from Wales. I mean, things can only improve, right?
Yeah, exactly right. And you know what? The amount of people are saying, well, Sean Lynn's just got in. Maybe he could do a job with the men. And to be fair, I could actually back him to do that. But I was like, hands off. Hands off. He is the women's property.
Yes, quite right. Yes. No, well, glad that you've been enjoying yourself on the road. I was at Twickenham at the weekend, managing to step on loose paving slabs and splatter my lovely new shoes in mud.
Was that pre-event as well?
Yeah, literally. I just got out of the taxi, walking the 10 metres to the thing, and then splash all over my trousers. So that was good. So they have gone through the washing machine. They've come out quite well, but they're stained for good. So that's great. We're all thrilled.
Such a hard life. I got mud on my shoes whilst I'm in hospitality at Twickenham. Oh,
well,
Nick.
Well,
almost
hosting,
as bad
hosting.
As
I was working.
Skiing every weekend.
I was working, thank you very much. Although it's not very much like working at the Exeter. But anyway, but there we are. Look, we have got tons to get through because we've got a huge round 17 to look forward to. We'll touch on the games from the rearranged round, we'll basically do our best to get everybody up to speed with where we need to be, because ding-a-ling-a-ling, ring the cliche bell, business end of the season time, isn't it?
It is, but my gosh, how exciting it is. I mean, literally, you're talking about the top four, but it's also, you know, the Loughborough Lightnings and the Trail Fire, who, you know, every time I see the fixture list now, I'm looking at them and thinking, right, who are they going to trip up now? Who are they going to, you know, where's the scalp going to come from? So yeah, still loads of rugby to play, and I can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, all right then. Well, take us back to the weekend then, to Ashton Gate, Phil.
All right, so Bristol Bears 45, Exeter Chiefs 17. These Bears have to be the most frustrating team for Dave Ward. I mean, one week they play like the West Country All-Stars, and the next week they just look as if they don't belong together. It's bizarre, but let's focus on the good. And last weekend was good. An Alona Mar brace, an Atkin Davis hat-trick, coupled with relentless forward play that saw Abby Ward and Kira Bevan all crossing the line to secure the Bears a convincing win. Exeter Chiefs did score three times, but they didn't manage to get that losing bonus point.
No. Finally, Dave Ward has got a performance where he's not having to get to the end and go, okay, well, it's not quite, it's our fault and it's on us and it's on me. Like Atkin Davis, actually, with that hat trick, 47 tries in the last three seasons. That is quite something, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, isn't it just? I mean, it's testament to the way they play, isn't it? That forward pack, so strong. Not to take anything away from her, but she's playing the best position, one of the best positions for Bristol Bears behind that pack.
Yeah, hitch a ride on the back of that mauler. You're going to be all right. 60% possession for Bristol, seven tries. They need to be staying in this kind of stat area if they're going to get the job done this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. They need to just remember how good that felt, remember that play and take it forward, because like you say, it's not been the perfect season. We've seen some good, we've seen some bad. But yeah, if they play like that this weekend or continue to play like that for the rest of the tournament, look out.
Yeah. Word for Hope Rogers, Maddy Feinati for Exeter, you know, further strong performances. But yeah, they're not quite turning that corner they need to. And they have got the big games coming and a lot on their plate over the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So yes, interesting times for the Chiefs. We will come to all the permutations very shortly. But there was another game in our rearranged round. It was Sale Sharks 20, Trailfinders 33 at the Corpac Hayward Road. Sale's last match was the win down in Sandy Park. They might have hoped to fare better at home to Trailfinders, but it wasn't to be. Three first half tries from the visitors as they led at halftime before Julia Shell bagged the four try bonus point with her second after the break. Abby Burton, one of the newer faces in that England training camp last month, also scoring as Barney Madison's side clocked up their fifth win of the season. Sale did manage their highest points tally of the season with 20 on the board as Ortiz, Jarrell and Scarlett Fielding scored tries as well. So that is a decent little notch for them. But Trailfinders just managed it and got the win a little bit stronger there.
Yeah, they did. But no, let's highlight that point tally for Sale, because it is coming towards the end of the season and being able to hang your hat on these things, you know, the win down in Exeter. Now they've scored the most amount of points. Like that's really positive for them towards the end of the season. When you consider how little ball they had, like literally Trailfinders dominated the territory. Any ball they had was just in their half. So they had very little attacking ball. And yet to still be able to score like that was good. And some of the forwards' offloading play was really nice. You're starting to see them running that shoulder line rather than almost just preempting a carry and being sort of that 1 meter behind the player going over to be prepared to ruck over. They were actually thinking a bit more of an attacking mindset and getting on shoulders. So, yeah, you know, loss, but still points on the board. Good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And they were putting in the defensive hits. Erica Jarrell got through 18 tackles. Morwenna Tallinn got through 19. So that was pretty decent. Ealing Trailfinders, Abby Burton, 18 carries, 31 metres, 14 tackles. That for me is work rate. That's the sort of stuff that we'll have John Mitchell purring along. And a mention for Kate Zachary, 15 carries, 42 metres, 17 tackles. Ditto on the work rate. You know what you're getting with Captain America. And and also there was just another stat I saw out the back of this one for season assists. We know Mo Hunt has been crawling back up the charts, as she likes to top this one by the end of the season. But Katie Mattison, actually, for Trailfinders, is leading the charge with 12. Mo is alongside Lucy Packer with 10 in second for our Stato friends. But yeah, so those were the two games that took place last weekend. Look, plenty now to digest as we look forward to round 17.
So we really are in the business end now, aren't we? Look, this has got to be one of the tightest battles for that top four league place that we've ever had before. And before we get into the matchups for round 17, shall we just hone in on what is going on for the race for the playoffs?
Yeah, sure. I mean, 5 into 4 doesn't go. And look, we know Gloucester and Harlequins have already qualified into the playoffs, but the rest's wide open. And well, this weekend is going to have a huge bearing on it, mainly with Friday night's match at the Stoop. So who better to have had a chat with about that than Rachel Burford, former Harlequin, to see how she thinks it's all going to go.
Well, actually, I think we need to hear this clip from you, Nick, because first of all, because we know you're not great in the morning. You look great.
Thanks. I will accept that. I'll accept that.
But this bit from your chat with Rachel is pretty good, I have to say.
Oh, okay. Thank you. If Quins win with all 5 points, they go up to 60. So that's them, you know, before a ball is kicked then on Saturday between Sale and Gloucester Hartbury, then Quins would be top overnight. Obviously, if Bristol get 5 points against Quins, which I think is a tall ask, but as you say, both teams like to run and entertain. So they've just got to score four tries and be on the right side of the result, which is also feasible, I think. So Bristol could get themselves up to 54 points, where Quins would stay on 55. And then that starts to paint an interesting picture for Bristol Bears. I mean, obviously we can look at things like a draw or, you know, Bristol could score four tries and finish within 7 points of Quins and get 2 points to get themselves up to 51. That would open up a 5 point gap between themselves and Exeter Chiefs. And, you know, let's just say it again. This is Bristol's last game of the season. This is their last shot for points in that table. So they know, and Dave Ward knows, they have to try and get these 5 points no matter what.
Yeah, and I think, you know, how often do we see really desperate teams do really special things? And you saw that last week, the desperation from Bristol. And I don't see or believe that it will drop off this week. Mm-hmm. And I really don't want to go against my old team of Harlequins, but I really think Bristol have a real high percentage of winning this game with 5 points.
Okay, interesting. I mean, here on the PowerPod, we are used to making to giving team talks for, you know, teams. So Harlequins, you know, they'll put this up on the changing room wall. Berth thinks we're going to lose it. So you know, I can see what you're doing here. You're just very secretly giving your old team the team talk to make sure they don't cock it. It's very clever. Yeah, very clever, Berth. Great to chat to Rachel Burford. More grief coming the way of the PowerPod, no doubt. But we'll let Berth take the heat this time from her old club. But yeah, we had a good old natter on that for over 10 minutes or so, actually, on that top four. So if you'd like to listen to that, please do find that as a little bonus extra this week. But yeah, I did my best to sort of explain how that side of things is looking. But let's get your take on things, PT, as to how this weekend is going to affect things.
Well, if we're looking for, you know, the battle of the top four is really between Exeter and Bristol. And isn't mm-hmm. it mad how, do you remember at the beginning of the season where Exeter just couldn't lose, right? They couldn't lose. They were winning every game. And you were at one of the games and you saw how livid Susie Appleby, I think it was against Gloucester Hartbury, how she let them get the losing bonus point. And you're like, my gosh, like you're on this amazing winning running streak. Like, what does that matter? Isn't it mad? That's why they're head coaches, because they know how important those finer details, no matter how much you're on this amazing run, anything could change, anything can happen. And now they're off the back of this big losing streak. That one point, you know, that could be huge. It's amazing that it's come down to these fine margins.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Yeah, they've had 8 try bonuses over the course of the season, 2 losing bonuses. I mean, in terms of losing bonuses, that's actually the most that any of the other clubs have had. Gloucester, Saracens, and Loughborough Trailfinders among them. Just looking at the table, but yeah, it's a very good point. Every point matters, as we know. And it's funny, we get to the end of the season, we go, "Oh, these games are so important." But you know, Chiefs wouldn't be there if it hadn't been, obviously, for their amazing run at the start of the season. So, you know, we'll get into that in terms of the preview. But yeah, it's all about that Bristol game at Harlequins, really. And then depending on what happens there, obviously, Saracens taking on Exeter Chiefs. But look, we can look at the games in detail, really, can't we, as we look at our round 17 preview. There is, as we mentioned at the start, and is no doubt out by now, a late change on the TV game. So Friday Night Lights in Southwest London, as Harlequins host Bristol, it is going to be the game live on TNT Sports. Could it be Ilona Maher's last PWR match? Because if it doesn't go the way of Bristol and other results do this weekend, then it will be. And then we've got 3 games on Saturday with Trailfinders, Saracens, Sale Sharks, all at home with the 5:30 kickoff, the other big top four factor with Exeter Chiefs going to North London. So much to get into.
Oh, right, let's kick it off with the big one. I'm so glad this is going to be on TV. This is just awesome. So on Friday, 14th of February, Quins v Bristol Bears. I wonder how many of them are going to get roses. I bet you there's going to be so many people in the crowd checking roses.
For Valentine's, you mean?
Yeah, sorry. It's Valentine's Day, isn't it? So
Yeah, of course. Well, maybe someone will come with one for me, because I'm now reporting. And I've not done the reporting role for quite a long time. So actually, we've got Ashley Wilmot, and Claire Thomas, and I think Katie Daly-McLean is there.
Amazing.
So we've got 3 women in those roles and me in the reporter role. I think that's a sort of little gender switch of roles, which I'm all here for. And I don't know what happened before. Often, you know, traditionally in rugby, all of those roles would have been the other way around, and I'm totally happy that it's this way around. So I've got to learn how to take my notes and probably go to makeup and have my hair done or something. I don't know. Claire Thomas, I think, is waiting to see if I can take longer in the makeup chair than half of them. But yes. Anyway, carry on. Bring us some detail for this one.
I'm not jealous at all that you're going to be there. That's amazing. So, all right, a little bit of detail from Harlequins. Ellie Kildon scored another 2 tries in round 16. She scored 9 in her last 5 appearances. She's also made a round high of 151 metres and beat 8 defenders. Now, that is what you call attacking style of rugby. Harlequins are the only team that have averaged ruck speed of below 3 seconds so far this season. And let's just, some people don't know why is 3 seconds so important, but that is the goal. Across the men's game, the women's game, you want want the ball on the ground, but back up and into play within the count of 3 seconds. Why is that important? Because that only gives 3 seconds for the defenders to get onside, to look up and pick who they've got. And trust me, as a defense, if you have to do that multiple times under 3 seconds, there's a likelihood you're not going to look up and probably you're not going to say who you've got. And that's when it opens up. And that's when you can play some lovely attacking rugby because there's gaps. So just to give that under three seconds is brilliant. Bristol Bears, Sarah Byrne made 16 carries into contact, which was top of round 16. 43 post-contact meters, also top, beat 11 defenders. I mean, to be honest, that's quite slack for her. I think, you know, I'm a bit disappointed, Sarah Byrne. Where's the pirouette? Where's the double backflip? That's what I'm asking.
Yes, quite.
Bristol Bears also beat the most defenders of 50. And remember, guys, everything I'm saying now is round 16. So that was against Loughborough, not last round for the rearrange.
We've had a curious little stat pack, you know, wrinkle this week where we've got all the stats through celebrating what the players did last round, which is round 16, but a load of them played at the weekend. Anyway,
we've got ourselves
tied in knots, haven't we?
But look, that beating 50 is huge. I mean, that's the most in a single game so far this season. So I want to bring that out. But over the season, they are averaging the most amount of clean breaks of 9.1 and defenders beaten 32.7 per game this season. That is impressive.
Yes, top four level stuff, I think it's fair to say. There are over 5,000 tickets sold for this one. The Bears, well, they certainly hope to give their faithful a Friday night Valentine's gift. Incidentally, that Sarah Byrne run that resulted in Kira Bevan's try. I mean, we know Sarah Byrne used to be a centre. That was something else hitting the hole. But she was put through it by Amber Reid and Sarah Byrne after the game saying that Amber Reid probably deserved the player of the match. Byrne was outstanding. But one thing I noticed actually over the Bears socials, and I think if the PowerPod listeners can do anything about this, they were talking about, I saw an interview where Amber Reid was talking about the fact that once Bristol got their numbers and their names, particularly on the back of their shirt, that Lucy Burgess got really emotional the very first time she saw a fan in the stands with her name on the back of her shirt, which is a lovely story. And then just sort of within the telling of the story, Amber Reid's just like, yeah, no one's worn my name and carries on. I hovered over buying a Bristol Bears shirt and personalizing it with the word Reid on the back because I just thought I've got to turn up and surprise Amber Reid. Now, I'm not a Bristol Bears fan and it was going to cost about 80 quid to do it. And so I've backed out. I mean, I thought about buying it and then giving it to a Bristol fan. But anyway, if anyone out there is a Bristol fan and can afford it, please can you go and get Amber Reid's name on your back and turn up and surprise her because she's one of the best players in the world and she deserves that moment herself. So if that's not already happened, I hope someone who's a Bristol fan will do that with love from the PowerPod because I think Amber Reid deserves it. Anyway, that's just a little one from me.
No, she 100% does. And in this game, you can just see how they've got that beautiful axis now between Holly Aitchison and Amber Reid and how much they intertwine. You know, you look at the stats pack and not often do you have your centres passing as much as your fly halves. But when you look at Bristol, they do because they intertwine so much. And it's just that relaxed nature of it in a broken play, which you're going to get at Bristol because they hold on to the ball so well. They play so much. Inevitably, you're going to get broken play. And to have someone of Amber Reid's not only sort of skill set and flair, but her composure. So she doesn't ever get panicked. She doesn't ever look flustered, no matter what's going on in front of her. She's always calm. Yeah. She's always cool. She just does what needs to be done.
Yes. Now, will Holly Aitchison still be there next season? Rumours are abound. Possibly not. Might be headed a little further afield. Anyway, that's all I'll say. That's all I'll say for now. All right, let's go to the game on Saturday, 3 o'clock. Trailfinders against Leicester Tigers. This is 7th against 8th. This will be taking place at Vallis Way, of course. Trailfinders welcoming the Tigers in London, looking to better their conversion rate in the 22. I think it's fair to say. Around 16, they made 13 entries, averaged 1.3 points a visit. And for a team that loves ball in play, converting these chances is going to be paramount. That, again, is around 16 stats, not the one they played last weekend. But anyway, for Tigers, Trailfinders, I mean, it's going to be about keeping Trailfinders out of the red zone. And boy, do they love playing on that surface at home. They're going to need the likes of Charlotte Frey, who made the joint most tackles in round 16, which is pretty good with 20. Her tackle success is a whopping 95%.
Wow.
So she can keep up that standard if she can. It'll be very valuable for the Tigers. But Trailfinders, they're going to look forward to being at home and running on that surface of theirs.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's just give a bit of context as well to the Charlotte Frey tackle stats. This team defend a lot. Okay, sometimes they can be skewed, can't they? And you can see that the best tacklers are actually ones in attacking teams which haven't lost all season. Well, they haven't defended that much, so their percentage is really high. Charlotte Frey has defended a lot. Tigers have been up against it. So to still have that tackle success rate really is very, very impressive. Trailfinders, I'm loving their home vibe now. It's built, isn't it? Week on week, you can see the crowds. It's almost, dare I say it, becoming the new Sandy Park. Like that loud, I know. Oh, there it is. Boom. but it's brilliant. You can see the crowds. But it's great to see another team getting that much love and support, you know, in the home ground. And it's a great ground as well, hopefully, for Trailfinders. You know, Leicester Tigers won't enjoy playing there as much as Trailfinders do. But you've mentioned it before. We met, well, so many times on this pod, we said it's Trailfinders' defence. And, you know, by their own admission, that is something that they are trying to work on. We know what they can do in attack, and we love it. And look, from a purely entertainment point of view, I love the Trailfinders games because you know there's going to be tries on both sides and it's going to be entertaining rugby. But you feel almost now, you know, coming towards the end of the season and you think about all the amazing games they've played and how they've played at times, and you think it's almost unjust that they're not in that top four. But that's the reality of the league. Yes, you can score, but you can't concede so many. And it's finding that kind of sweet spot because you've got like Bristol Bears. They've scored the most amount of tries, yet they're still fighting for top four because they've conceded. Whereas you look at Exeter, they've conceded very few, but they've also scored fewer. So you've got to go somewhere in the middle. And Gloucester Hartbury have got it pretty much perfect. They're third for the most amount of tries scored at 75, but they've only conceded 40. Right, Trailfinders have scored 67, but they've conceded 65. So that's where they are in the league, where they are, so to speak. So it's finding that middle ground of being able to score, but also being able to keep teams out. And that's just something that, you know, if they continue like this for next season, they can shore up. And they will be top four contenders next year. Absolutely.
Oh, there we go. Putting it right out there. And yes, you know, speaking of Gloucester Hartbury, I mean, Leicester Tigers, that was their last game. Meg Jones made the most carries for them with 16, made the most offloads. So yes, good luck to Leicester Tigers on their way to Trailfinders playing their last home game of the season. All right, over to the Stonex.
Okay, so on Saturday at 5:30 p.m., we've got Saracens against Exeter Chiefs. This is the other headline fixture of the weekend then, with Saracens with their 4 wins in 5 against a Chiefs side who have won 1 in their last 6.
That's madness, big, isn't it?
I know, it's just madness. For Saracens, May Campbell's hat-trick last round took her to 15 tries in 14 appearances this season. I'm just going to put it out there. She's one of the most valuable players in the PWR. Like, she ticks every box. She's just been brilliant this year. Sarri's conceded 13 turnovers in round 16, the second fewest, but conceded the most penalties of 12. Discipline needs to be tight for Alex Osterbury's side. For Chiefs, Rachel Johnson was flying when it came into dominant carries, post-contact meters against Quinns, but those numbers shot down against Bristol last weekend, which isn't a surprise when Chiefs only had 40% of the possession. Maddie Fanate made 25 tackles against Bristol, which is unreal, and she was carrying, she was just everywhere. Dorothy Wall made 19, but Chiefs made just 3 line breaks in that game at Ashton Gate. They were just starved of any opportunity from Bristol's incredible discipline. They only gave away 4 penalties. So if Saris can stay on the right side of the ref, Chiefs might struggle.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to in this one. You know, it's Chiefs. You mentioned earlier Chiefs at the start of the season. We talked about, you know, you concede penalties, they kick down, they get into your 22, they have a line out, they score. You know, whether it's catch and drive, whether it's, you know, punching through the middle, getting to the wide outside. And it seems that if you're playing against a team like they were against Bristol, who actually kept really squeaky clean, four penalties all game is a really, really impressive record. Mm-hmm. Then they're struggling to find a way into the game, incredibly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think Alex Osterbury has got to read the right tack to his team. No more conceding penalties in double figures and stick to the task. And I think if they do that, Chiefs have got to try and find another way to score.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was the way that Bristol held on to the ball, because Chiefs will normally get those penalties by grinding you down. They hold on, they play. Someone panics, thinks, I've got to go in for that quick turnover. They get caught off their feet or whatever, penalty, boom. That's where next to go. But the fact that Bristol kept the ball so well, that limited the opportunity almost for them to give away the penalties. So yeah, a bit of a blueprint there for Alex Osterbury.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Saturday then, 7 o'clock, Sale Sharks are at home. They're in ninth, of course. They're against the champions at the top, Gloucester Hartbury. And after scoring their season-high 20 points against Trailfinders, the Sharks can be forgiven for assuming they might not be so lucky against the defending champions on Saturday evening. Coaches talk about controlling the controllables, don't they? Sale Sharks, well, they've averaged the most penalties and turnovers conceded per game so far this season. So that has to improve. And in Beatrice Ragone, they have a brilliant one-on-one stripper. And I'm quite aware of how that sounds. She has won the third most turnovers in the squad, which is 12. And that's included 5 one-on-one strips. So excellent work from the Italian. Good form to be showing as the Women's Six Nations tick-tocks around the corner. And for the Circus, they have the most dominant carries and dominant tackles of the season. So that basically tells me they've got what it counts both sides of the ball, Phil. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look, this is a really tough game to finish on, but last game for Sale at home. So I'd just be saying, you got nothing to lose. You've got absolutely nothing to lose. You've gone and beaten Exeter, unbelievable. You've then gone and scored the most amount of points you ever have this season. Brilliant. Now just throw everything at them. It's going to be tough. And I can imagine you're going to see a very composed Hartbury performance. They're probably going to kick long for territory, try and pin Sale back, try and get them to play out. Because sometimes they can overplay just because they're not always used to having, you know, the possession. I think Hartbury are just going to back off. You're not going to see them rushing up too much. They're just going to stay connected in defense. But like I say, back to Sale, nothing to lose, guys. Just go for it. Get some points on the board, put some big shots in, finish your season on a high.
There we go. Phil with the team talk. Good. Your predictions then, because we kind of chatted it through with Rachel Burford. Those are the fixtures then for that top four. Quins against Bristol Friday night. Are you in agreement with Rachel Burford that actually Bristol are on this roll and they've got to get what they've got to get? Last game, all of that. Where are you going?
I can't disagree with everything Burr said about Bristol. Absolutely. But I also can't ignore Harlequins on a Friday night, under the lights, at home, on TV. I mean, you remember the last time when they played at Twickenham and they were on TV. Harlequins were unbelievable.
It's a cracking Friday night there. Certainly when the men have played on Friday night with the lights, everything else like that. I'm delighted that the women are going to get this chance.
Yeah, absolutely. But key for me is Alex Callender and Jade Conkle-Roberts. They've both been out the past two rounds and you can see it. I'm really hoping I guess they had knocks. I think maybe Alex Callender had a head knock, but I'm really hoping now they are rested and back in. Because honestly, if those two names aren't on the sheet, I'll say Bristol. If they're on, I'll say Harlequins.
Oh,
that's how much I think they can affect it. Genuine.
I love a qualified decision like that. That's excellent.
But I also managed to stay on the fence. Do you like how I did that?
It's very good. She's not a first rodeo. That's good. Okay, so if Bristol get it, and then obviously, you know, that's a 4-point win or a 5-point win, are you saying? I guess if they're winning, they're getting 5 points, are they? Because they score tries. But
yeah. Do they? I don't know. I just think that's really ballsy. I can see either winning by 4 tries. That's gutsy. So no, I'm going to back off and say either one could win, but it would only be 4.
All right. Points. Well, you know what then leaves the door open for Exeter Chiefs, who obviously have 2 games in which to get their points this season. It's all going to come down to the wire. There we are. All right. Well, the table is Gloucester Hartbury 58, Harlequins 55, Saracens 53, Bristol Bears 49, Exeter Chiefs 46. And then we do drop down 12 points to Loughborough on 34, Trailfinders 32, Tigers on 12. 12 and Sale Sharks on 4. Enjoy whatever game you are going to go and take in this weekend, including perhaps that Friday night TV game. As for the power line, once again, it was wonderful to hear from Rob Smith. Thank you, Rob, for getting in touch on the Chiefs' exploits, really. Here's a little bit of what Rob had to say.
Congratulations, Bristol. That's the sort of form that got them to the final last season, and I think we were expecting to see more of this season. And I suspect if they take that form to the Stoop, they're going to do something very similar against Quins. So that means Chiefs really have to get the win at the Stonex, which is easier said than done. But if they can capture some of the old form that dismantled Saracens earlier in the season, then it's certainly doable.
Yes, I think as we've kind of said on this episode, Philippa, it's all about them finding that form from earlier in the season if they're going to do any kind of job. And we had this other message from Mikolai, who we've heard from this season. This I love because we covered the announcement of the teams in women's elite rugby in the USA, including a team like the Bay Breakers. Let's hand over to Mikolai and hear the point he's making.
Hello, Parapod. US Domestic Rugby League looks really interesting. We can discuss team names and logos, but teams' descriptions are worth to check on the website. For example, Bay Breakers. Bay Area is represented by crashing and relentless waves. Harnessing the power of ocean waves, the Breakers team will look to break tackles, the spirit of their opponents, records on the pitch, and barriers as women in the game of rugby. How cool is that? It's hard to find on English clubs' website information why Tigers are Tigers or Bears are Bears. Some new fans might be interested in meaning and origin of the club they support. Cheers.
I absolutely love, I love that. Why are the Bears the Bears and Tigers the Tigers? Now, I know that these have come from men's clubs, but you know, they're obviously WER have gone to the lengths of some lovely marketing collateral, some meaning behind the names like Bay Breakers and what have you. So I think he raised a nice point. Why are you Bears? Are there Bears in Bristol?
I was one of the first things Ilona Maher asked, isn't she? Are there actually Bears in Bristol? That's a great question. Let's put it to the media teams and find out where is the very, very tenuous link between Bristol and Bears.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody has that answer. Okay, thank you very much for getting in touch on the power line, 07880 716 219. If you want to get in touch, we would love to hear from you, particularly as you're leaving games this coming weekend. Right, one question. Do you remember about 7 years ago, we had Katana Howard asking a question to Tess Fury? It took us a while, but we got there. Here is Tess Fury answering Katana Howard's one question.
Hi, PowerPod. Tess Fury here. I would like to thank Katana Howard for my one question. My answer is my favorite place I have traveled is New Zealand because it was absolutely beautiful and they really appreciated rugby. So for my one question, I'd like to nominate Lucy Nye from Exeter Chiefs. My question is, if you could only eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
There we go. A lovely, lovely message from Tess. It was also sent as a video as well, so we could pop that out on our socials, perhaps. Thank you, Tess. Thank you, Tess, for stepping up in a multimedia fashion. But yes, best place you travel, New Zealand. And a question there for Lucy Nye at Chiefs. So we shall try and not make it another 7 years until we follow up on that. Okay, bit of any other business. We've had the England Under 20s women's squad announced. Of course, LJ Lewis, Sarah McKenna in the coaching seats there. Lucy Callidine of Loughborough is going to captain the side. Squad's 11 cap players before from last year. And look, they're going to be returning to Bisham Abbey to get together. They've got a 3-day camp at the end of March. And then there are going to be some upcoming fixtures for them. But a few of those notable players, Ella Cromack for Quins is in there, Millie David, Sophie Hopkins from Sale, Millie Hyatt from Gloucester Hartbury, Amelia McDougall, of course, who has the number 10 shirt at Sarries, when Zoe Harrison is not there, Carmella Morale at Loughborough, and Sarah Parry's been called up, which I am delighted to hear because I think she's been brilliant for Harlequins over the course of the season, Amelia Williams as well. So it's good to see that these players are getting picked out and put in that pathway.
Yeah, look, it's just testament that this is part of the pathway now, isn't it? The PWR, whether it's league or it's the Power Up league as well, that these girls are getting such valuable experience playing with seasons internationals. Look out for them in the under-20s competition. Brilliant for them.
Yeah, good stuff. We touched on the possible coaches merry-go-round. We're getting a little more rumour in on that. So are there going to be two or three gentlemen going further north to maybe work together? There's more rumour for you there. Good. I can't fully break any confidences of rumours, can I? Because just rude. So I'm just doing lots of hinting, basically. Now, the other bit of any other business, have you got your tickets for our live pod? Are you going to the PWR final? If you are, then we would love to see you there because we are doing the ultimate final live show. You can join us and the good, the Scars, the Rugby, who are powered by Vodafone, for a live show at the Stonex for the PWR final. There's going to be Elma Smit, there'll be me, there'll be Phil, there'll be Katie Daly-McLean, and a bit of Meg Jones. So come and chat with us live. It's not going to be a recorded one. We'll be there having some fun. We can do some photos, whatever else you like. So we would love to see you there. There will be a link in the bio of our Instagram, and we'll do our best to put the link in also the podcast description as well. So there we go. It's going to be fun, right, Phil?
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be obviously for the rugby, but equally the show before. I just think it's brilliant that we can collab like this. I've done one actually last year with the good, the Scars, the Rugby in Wales. We went to the walkabout and we were battling between the noise of the drag acts, who were fantastic, by the way. but it's just such a brilliant atmosphere. It's lovely to be able to give that build up, you know, just give a little bit maybe more insight to the players, the competition, and really just, you know, hamp it up to the occasion that it deserves to be. So I can't wait for the final.
Super. All right, it is time, Philippa, to ask for PT's power play.
Oh, this was a good one. So Bristol against Exeter, and this was Alona's second try. But I'm not going to talk too much about Alona Maher. It's the build up as ever that led to this. So this was Bristol Bears DNA. And I just loved in a clip of 10, 15 seconds, you're like, that is Bristol. That is what they do. And I dare say Dave Ward, just show this on repeat before they go and play Harlequins. Because if they do this, they will win this game. So Sarah Byrne on the carry, of course, beautiful clear out. She makes like 20 meters, not quite, but for the story, I'll say that. She makes meters. Kira Bevan, the ball might as well have been placed on like a red velvet cushion for her. It was just there, you know? So in she comes, whips that ball away, super fast speed. And you know, we talked about the Holly Aitchison, Amber Reid axis. So Amber Reid appears in at 10. There's a short line runner. It goes out the back to Holly Aitchison. And this is where the magic happens. Now, this is all on the YouTube highlights from the PWR. So please go and have a look at this. But watch this try in slow-mo. Because if you watch it in slow-mo, from the time the ball goes from Kira Bevan to Amber Reid to Holly Aitchison, the speed and the width forces the defenders to turn their hips because they've got to try and cover the ground. The ball has gone so quickly, they're panicking. Everyone's hips have gone, their shoulders have gone, and they're chasing towards the winger. Now, in that split second, Holly Aitchison, if she passes that ball, she's giving the defense an easy ride. She's like, yep, continue on, defenders, keep going that way and go and smash Alona Maher, the winger, into the touchline. So she, in a split second, throws a beautiful dummy, a stutter step, so the outside defender thinks the ball's gone and shoots up. She's out of the game. She's gone. And then because she puts that stutter step, she fixes the defender in front of her. That's two defenders in a split second action that she has taken out of the game. And then the cherry on top is this beautiful 20-meter fizzing fast pass to the winger, which, you know, Alona Maher still had work to do, but it bought her that valuable time and took two defenders out. So it's obviously a team try, but I do want to highlight Holly Aitchison's skills and that beautiful access between Amber Reid and Holly Aitchison to bring out the best of everyone. So my power play, second try, Alona Maher, Bristol Bears against Exeter. Go back and watch in slow-mo.
Very good. We love it. And I think even Alona Maher on her socials was just like, finishing off this drive, but I'm nowhere without you, Holly Aitchison.
Yes, so, yes.
So yeah,
100%.
She was giving due credit. Excellent. Love that. Right. Where are you this weekend then?
This weekend? Oh, weekend off. Yeah. So I did Paris. I did Rome last weekend, which was fantastic. But no, weekend off now, full of kids clubs. Lovely.
She gets into me about skiing. She's like, I've been to Rome, just been to Paris. I mean, come on, the double standards, honestly.
Work.
Our very own Rihanna. Good. There we are. Well, that is another episode of the Power Pod. We hope you have enjoyed it. Do keep in touch with us, as I've said. Also, do go and check out my chat with Rachel Burford. It was brilliant to spend some time with her, and we're hoping that she's going to be back ahead of the final for us to have a bit of a chat about perhaps our 15 of the season across the PWR. That is no doubt going to cause some debate. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, have a wonderful weekend, whichever games you're going to go and see. If you are tuning in on Friday, let's see if I can play the role of reporter. That'll be fun. Live on TNT Sports. And we will catch up with you next week after round 17. For now, from us, it's cheerio. Bye.
Enjoy the weekend.
The Power Pod is a Level production produced by Caleb Matombo.